Welcome and good evening. And it's so nice to be together again. So you know what we do. We center and ground while we're waiting for everyone to attend. So I consider this our fifth meeting, if we include Monday. And at this point, we are living within a sacred circle, a sacred ceremonial circle. It was established and reinforced to become a consistent space over the last 4 days. And so tonight, as we gather, the radiance of the circle, the illuminated beings, we've all gathered together in harmony. And really, the toughest thing to do is relax. So there's initial relaxation where we kind of feel ourselves physically letting down. And as we head deeper into the group collaborative energy, a deeper relaxation sets in. So there's a real difference between a superficial relaxation, which is very good to have no matter what, and then the deeper relaxation where mind, body, and spirit come into harmony. And that creates more of a total overall relaxation. And that's when we open to knowing in a wholeness. Feel your tailbone, inviting it to soften and release. And note that we need to do that. That is part of when we gather and noticing the heavy energy that happens when a group gathers. It's just a fact. And it's also a fact that you're probably not going to be in your deepest state when you enter a circle, which is perfectly realistic. And then allowing yourself the space and time to deepen without rushing. And attending to yourself in that gentle, softening way. This is the part that gets skipped over. So that deeper relaxation and the wholeness comes with the collaboration with the illuminated beings. It doesn't come from just a single 3D dimension. Sometimes it's called mystic relaxation. There we go. And that's when you can feel not only the physical starting to soften, but kind of layers of heaviness and stress and tension starting to peel off and release into Mother Earth, be lifted up out by the Father, Son, and the luminous beings. An entire process is initiated between Mother Earth, Father, Son, the illuminated beings, and us. And yet, there's always that reflex that wants to try to jump into it and skip over this step. And when you meet with a group, there's going to be that reflex to want to jump into, I'm going to call it what it really is, they want to feel better. Really, the motivation for a lot of people to engage in energy work or group work is just to get out of that discomfort, tension, and misery. You just want to feel better. And that's reasonable. They know there's a space, a frequency where they feel better, and you can help them get there. But then there's the other part where they have to learn to do it themselves. The teaching a person to fish. And there's a lot of resistance to that. And this is what we need to be aware of if we're going to be working with individuals or a group. And that reflex could be so strong that you can get pulled into it if you're not really well grounded and deeply situated in your alignment. See, we're gently, each person is gently coming back to their alignment with their central axis right now. It's just starting to happen. And as each one of us grounds and starts circulating the heavy energies so they become digested and transformed, the heavy energies of the circle start to transform. So you can see how long it's taken for each one of you to become really engaged in the practice and in the circle, to become a full participant. Most people come in a very passive way, hoping to be drawn into a brightness, a deeper connection with themselves, and to feel better. And to be relieved of their misery. And when I say misery, it includes mental, emotional, physical pain. And so it's very important to be aware of how the participants are participating and engaging in a sovereign way. And how do you help bring that about? So it's not judging or blaming, it's the state of our culture. And so we need to really start at the beginning of the beginning. When you're working with people. And then there's the pressure from people who want to feel better, who want to feel connected, who want to feel higher frequency, and the facilitator feeling responsible for that. And the participant may be judging the facilitator for not getting them where they need to be or want to be. So when I first started my medical intuitive practice, I had been trained in medical massage, polarity, craniosacral, Reiki, a whole bunch of modalities where someone would come and lie on a table and something would be done to them. Now, when I started the medical intuitive practice, my primary criteria for who I wanted to work with was I only wanted to work with someone who was willing to be engaged with their own healing. That if they were looking for someone to do something to them, that I wasn't the right person for them. And I turned away a lot of people, but I turned them away by referring them to someone that would be a good match for them. Someone who was working with people who wanted to lie down on a table and be worked on. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is a modality. But that was not the criteria for my work. And the guidance I have been working with. And a lot of people didn't like it, actually. But when I start every session with grounding and I teach and lead them into an experience of what it feels like to be engaged with themselves and connected to themselves in a way that they can do it themselves, it opens up a new pathway for them. It gives them an opportunity to engage because they've never been taught how to with themselves. And now everyone in this group has taken another step towards engagement. With your own inner authority, with your own inner ability. And each person's coming from a different place, each person's taking a different step, but it is all towards more engagement and participation with themselves. And then the extension of that is to develop a continuous awareness of that inner presence and engagement throughout the activity of life. Because there is a big difference between being centered and grounded and connected to the living energies and not. And we have to remember that it starts with a tiny little shift, that re-engagement with yourself, a breath, a sense of your seat, a sense of your feet. And be willing to shift through the density patiently, all the while learning more and more about yourself. That period of time where you're initiating that return has so much teaching in it. And if we get involved in that shame spiral that we discussed last night, we want to be aware of that. Recognize it as the trauma voice, as the reflex conditioning. And then just slightly feel your seat on the chair. Make a tiny little shift. Feel your thighs spreading out on the chair. Tiny, tiny little awareness. A little sense of the calf muscles starting to droop. The seat starting to spread. And all of a sudden, finding your feet at the end of your legs. Oh my, I have feet. They're connected to my legs, to my seat, to the energy in my hands. Maybe my breath gets a little deeper this moment. The density that we are penetrating is so deep and heavy that the willingness to be patient with these tiny, tiny movements is crucial. And then whatever you start to notice next, let it unfold. And then whatever comes after that, let it unfold. And then, as we do our part, and this is what we can do, And as Cindy keeps referring to in her comments, the reminder to slow down. As we do our part, we get to know that something greater is engaging with us. It's like some light is coming into our being. Like a slow sunrise where the darkness starts to fade away and an inner light begins to shine. And it's not necessarily that you're seeing it, but you're feeling it, the upliftment, the meaning, the connection starting to return. So we are engaged in a processing experience right now. Millimeter by millimeter, we're settling in deeper. And little by little, the heavy energies are coming into circulation and getting processed. Being fed to Mother Earth, Father Sun, this fuel, and return to us as the vital energy that fuels us. It's the reciprocal flow. And becoming engaged in your reciprocal flow is the practice. In tiny little increments of awareness. Doesn't have to be a big leap into it. In fact, it usually doesn't work with a big leap. It's the density of every day. So, if we were back in Costa Rica and we had spent 3 or 4 days in retreat, we would be living with much more awareness and a feeling of lightness. But here we are, coming back to our daily life every single day and developing some facility, some flexibility, awareness of what we gather during a day and how to be in present process with those energies. I'm going to sneeze here. Wait a minute. Okay. So we're never pretending that the living energies don't exist, because they do. And so, as the facilitator, your skill is to maintain that consistent, continuous awareness of the flow and connection to living energies. Now, that is the role of a ceremonial leader. Am I still here? My computer just went nuts. Looks like I'm back. That is the role of a ceremonial facilitator and leader. Is to hold that space. Not for the group, but to be that frequency for yourself. And it's the group's responsibility to have the reference point for what it feels like to have a clear connection or not, and what degree of clarity they have, so that you are like a mirror, or even like a tuning fork in a certain way. You don't reach over to the group, but because you're in that frequency, whoever has the ability to tune to it will. And whatever guidance you can provide to help them become aware enough to start tuning to themselves, using you as a mirror, that creates the environment for each person to tune to themselves and their own frequency and clear through to become more and more powerfully their own frequency. And that includes their individual expression and the universal unity expression. So you become like a tuning fork. It's been mentioned as a lighthouse, a reference point for people out to sea to know where to land. But your position is not to reach out. It's to stay centered and grounded in your axis, in your toroidal field, in your connection to the illuminated beings. And then you have to let go and kind of follow the guidance as it unfolds for the group, watching that you don't invade someone else's space, take away their opportunity for their own engagement with themselves. It's a very delicate balance. Very delicate balance to know how to guide with encouraging, supporting someone else's engagement with themselves versus taking away that opportunity from them by over investing, over fixing. And usually that stems from a need within yourself or myself. So I always come back to a position within myself that reminds myself that each person is connected to their own guidance, that their path will unfold for them, however it will unfold, that I cannot intrude on someone's sovereignty to walk their path as they see and step into each movement from where they're at. And yet still provide that lighthouse or tuning fork. And learning to feel your central axis gives you a reference point for when you leave that axis, and you can tell. You can tell the impulse you might have to want to fix, help, support in a way that takes you off your axis. And that's your indication that you've lost your own sovereignty. And maybe intruded on someone else's. And very often that's a feeling of your energy going over to someone else's energy, to someone else's body being. So, when you maintain that alignment with your inner light axis, your energy field becomes coherent. Whatever needs to be cleared in you as a facilitator clears. Because even as a facilitator, every sacred circle, something else clears and is revealed. Every single time. So we're never in some kind of perfect state. But remember, I was referring to concentration at the beginning, and concentration being that continuous stream of awareness in an unbroken way. And so grounding and feeling the energy as a background to your engagement with life, the more continuous that can be, the stronger your concentration is. When concentration becomes very, very smooth and continuous, it opens to the next realm. And deepens us into a more contemplative state, which is where we were last night at the end of our meditation. We were in a deep state of contemplation. And in that deep state of contemplation, we have the inner worlds beginning to reveal themselves to us. I'm saying that in a general way because that's where we are with it. So don't ask me what those inner worlds are. And then, as we have those inner worlds, that deeper wisdom and mysticism open to us, we even go deeper into what's called a state of meditation. And these are the classical Vedic terms. And in a state of meditation, there's no mind, there's only pure awareness. So it goes from relaxation to concentration to contemplation to meditation. And these are the classical stages in any spiritual practice. And the piece that's always skipped over is the relaxation. If the mind and body are not relaxed, the mind will never sink into that continuous stream of concentration. It'll constantly be jumping up like little fish jumping up above the pond, constantly pinging and breaking the concentration. Now, anyone who has mastered a craft, an art, a sport, a skill, knows what that path is like. And I know I've mentioned this before, but I want to remind you of it. You know that things are awkward when you first start to learn something. And I just remember being 7 years old and trying to do the scales on a piano and how awkward that was. And then practice, 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 and I start to get some muscle memory. And it starts to smooth out. And the scales become part. I can still do every single scale in my, I can feel it in my body. That I can do every single scale that I learned when I was like 7, 8, 9 years old. It's total muscle memory. And that's what the practice of grounding, returning, returning, returning to the practice, it becomes a muscle memory, a consciousness memory in your being. And you automatically start to default to it. Every time you leave, oh, I noticed I left. And then you just drop back in. Am I too tense to even ground? Yeah, I can notice that. So I need to soften and relax a little first. But it's the muscle memory, it's the practice memory that gets you to the point where you'll return, return, return. And the continuity and the longer length of time you spend in that continuous connection will increase the more you practice. But there's always a challenge to that. So I learn the scales, and I could play Mary Had a Little Lamb. And as I learned more and more, the pieces got harder and harder. And the practice got more and more complex, but it was equal to where I was growing. So the continuous practice will take you into the deeper places. According to your commitment to the practice. Now, unfortunately, when I say commitment, that brings up the old sense of responsibility, and I got to do this, and feeling extremely like I better do this or else. But we have to hear commitment as something coming from your heart, from your soul, guiding you to where you really want to be. And you know that feeling of wanting to learn something. I'm sure each one of you has had that feeling of, oh, I really want to learn this. And being drawn into that passion of the practice because there's something in you that touches you about where you want to be and what you can do. And those are versions of the kind of commitment that come out of passion versus commitments that come out of obligation. And you would not be here in this program if you did not have a light illuminating the path for you to walk to attain a depth of connection and continuity of consciousness. You have that. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. Let's pause and feel. I'll just mention this as a cue. The circle just shifted. The group shifted into a lighter space. I'm just cueing you, so in case you noticed it, you'll understand why you noticed it and what the experience of noticing felt like. What did it feel like? Maybe a few of you can share. If you noticed that shift, and I mentioned it right after it happened immediately. Anyone notice the difference, and how did
Yeah,
you notice it?
I noticed it. It started in my heart, and it kind of was like a little burst of like softness, and it kind of came up through my head, but then there was also like this soft sinking down, and I thought to myself, wow, something just happened there. And then you said exactly what you said.
So that lets you know what that meant for you. Okay.
And
Good.
it was interesting too, because when you said let's pause, minutes before that, I felt my heart was pounding. So I thought maybe that was a cue that, we needed to settle in a little bit more. So.
Oh, yeah, that would be the cue. Good. See, that's what we need this feedback for, so that you have an equivalent understanding of what's happening for you in terms of the greater circle and ceremony.
It's wonderful. Thank you.
Anyone else notice that shift?
Yeah. Yeah, I a wave of something I never experienced ever went through me. So
Ooh, what did it feel like?
well, there's clarity. I'm going to say a bright darkness kind of thing just went through me. I think there was a little bit of a tickle with it.
So, yeah, it makes sense. Picture a volcano. Yeah, the density is erupting and the light's carrying it out. Breaking it up. Great. Hey, who else? This is important stuff. This is really good if you want to share. Go
Yeah,
ahead.
Sarah,
I was.
please. Go ahead, Renee.
Oh,
Go ahead.
thanks, Lisa. I right before you mentioned the shift, Sarah, I became so aware that I was still striving to relax. And as soon as I realized that, I focused very gently on my breath and I felt just a layer just drop off and I felt a lot of clarity.
Beautiful. So again,
And
go ahead.
well, at some point, when it is appropriate, I'm curious about when I have this experience, if I am facilitating, I tend to think, well, it's just me and everybody else is still struggling. It's a challenge for me to experience something like that. And I realize that it's the group.
You know how I asked for feedback? That's how you learn about that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay. And I'm very transparent. I need feedback right now from you guys. You know, I say that. And so that's reasonable. And helpful. So you can ask for feedback.
How novel. It takes it. It just, I just somewhere thought that, oh, there's some magical formula that I need for this, and asking for feedback makes it so accessible. So thank you.
It's separate. It makes you part of the circle rather than separating you out as the leader. You know what I mean? It brings you in and in a participatory, collaborative way.
Thank you.
And Lisa.
There was a pulse. Well, pulsing is the thing. I felt a very almost a belabored pulse, and right before you said what you said, the pulse direction shifted and it lightened and it was slower and it was easier. Yeah. Thank you.
These are all accurate descriptions of what happened. And that was, just to give you a perspective, that was like the first shift. It that was the first shift out of extreme heavy energy. There's lots more heavy energy, but that's the first time kind of the light of day comes in. So now you can sense how you were in the density of everything and what it feels like to just have the movement, the circulation begin. So that's not the end point, that's the beginning point. And another reason I want you in the Monday night sessions is to see how I model this and be able to see the cues and equate them with what you're feeling and experiencing. Okay, who else?
It's
Hi,
Fran.
Jen.
Oh, sorry.
Fran, go ahead, hon.
Okay. Thank you. This is really the first time I've experienced this, and it was almost as though I was not here in a sort of way. And then just before you said that, I noticed it was I just almost don't know that these are the right words, but it's the best I can do is to say, like, I felt like I was kind of both dropping through and rising up at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't that make sense?
It does, but I can't even tell you intellectually why.
Oh, yes, you can. Mother Earth, Father Sun.
Ah. Thank you. And this is helpful because I would tend to not dismiss it, but kind of put it aside because I didn't quite believe that I experienced it. So thank you.
Yeah, that's the experience of Mother Earth opening up, Father Sun coming in, that up and down. And
thank you. Yes. Okay. Total sense. Got it. Got it. Thank you.
Good. Okay, Kim?
Hi. I felt it as a brightness in my chest and a lightness. And that was accompanied by this rising of my chest in a big inhalation. And then I felt the energies going upward and out the crown, or in that direction at least, and then a sense of being planted.
These are all very accurate descriptions of what was happening. Your own way of knowing.
This is Tiffany.
Tiffany, go ahead.
I felt almost like a rod twisting in the middle of my body. Not in any painful way. Can't quite come up with, it's as close as I can come with words. Very subtle and light, but just a vertical line that went through and twisted.
So was the twisting something that created pressure and tension, or was it just something that was in movement?
Just movement.
Okay. Because those energies spiral.
Okay.
So we have the central channel, the light axis in the middle, which is equivalent to the central channel up the spine. And then you have the feminine energies and the masculine energies, and they spiral through. And that's a very linear way of describing it because it's very multidimensional and not linear. So it becomes an experience, and that's what leads to the terminology of like unwinding as we loosen up the tightness so that those energies can start pulsing and dancing together to form a harmony. But there's a spiral in that central axis.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Uh-huh.